it isn't known for the beauty of its wild areas, but anyone who has explored them knows better. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Today, we're going to talk about exploring Iowa on land and on water. Elizabeth Hill is the author of Hiking Iowa. She has personally explored nearly 80 of Iowa's parks and wildlife refuges. We'll talk about her favorites. And some people believe that the best way to explore Iowa's wilderness is on the water. Iowa has over 700 miles of designated water trails. Todd Robertson is the outreach coordinator for river programs at the Iowa Department of Natural Resources. We'll talk about the water trail designation and some of the best places to paddle in the state. We'd also like to hear from you. What are your favorite wild areas in Iowa? Where do you hike, canoe, or kayak? Please join the conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. Today we're going to talk about exploring Iowa on land and on the water. We'll start with the land. Elizabeth Corcoran Hill is the author of Hiking Iowa, and she has personally explored at least 80 of Iowa's state parks, national monuments, wildlife refuges, and county parks to find the best places to hike in Iowa. We'd also like to know where you like to hike. You can give us a call at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send us email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Elizabeth, thank you so much for being here today.
Hi, it's nice to join you.
And, you know, Iowa is not known for its amazing vistas and beautiful landscape, although those of us who live here and have explored know that there are very beautiful places here. But if you were trying to convince someone not from Iowa to get out there and explore, what kind of case would you make for the state of Iowa?
Well, geez, there's so many different options to go here. I think what people really don't really understand about the state of Iowa is that the subtle beauty of our great state is really an overwhelming force. And when we go to other places, like when we go to the coast and when we go to the mountains, we don't really have to look that hard to see beautiful things. But when we're in Iowa, we have to, as Carl Larson says, look with our littlest, newest eyes, you know, to really see beauty. And that it takes a little bit of time and it takes a little bit of energy, but we end up, you know, gaining so much more understanding when we really look hard to see beauty. Also, I think for people who say that there's nothing in Iowa or that they can't see beauty in Iowa, they've probably only traveled on Interstate 80 across the state. They've never really maybe gotten off of some of these main interstates to see what we have, which is incredible river valleys, incredible bluffs, prairies, just really, really beautiful landscape.
I do think in Iowa, as you said, you have to look a little bit harder. We don't have any national parks. How did you set out about finding all of the places that are great to hike in Iowa when you started to look?
Well, yeah, I actually, when I started writing the book, I was a little bit, I just was a little bit unsure if I was going to be able to find enough really wonderful parks to write about. But by the end of my six-month field trip time period, I had too many places to write about in the state of Iowa, which was really a heartening thing to learn. Basically, what I did was just go through county by county, trying to find out where the state, federal, and locally owned parks were. And then I made field trips and went out and explored every single one of them. So I was able to visit almost all of our state parks, almost all of our state wildlife management areas, many of the county conservation board parks, and all of the federal lands as well. So there's a smattering of some of the best of them found in Hiking Iowa, the book that came out in 2005.
One of the things that you write about when you talk about Iowa's park system, or in some ways a lack of a park system, is that 97% or more than 97% of the land in Iowa is privately owned. That must create a unique challenge.
Yeah, you know, I think it's somewhere around 97-98%, absolutely, that's owned privately. So that only leaves 2% of the state accessible to people as public lands. It does really it's hard. It means that it's a little bit harder to find great places to go outside and explore. However, they're still all there and they're still highly accessible with lots of different ways to access woodlands, to access trails, both water trails and hiking trails, I think, too. And, you know, there's a lot of opportunities for people if you just look a little bit harder than maybe sort of scanning the countryside and seeing only corn and beans. So I think that there's tons of opportunities for people to go outside, but there's also tons of opportunities to do more preservation and more conservation of Iowa's beautiful landscape as well.
Does it also mean, though, that if you're looking for really long hikes or backcountry camping, that there are not as many opportunities here as
Absolutely.
There are in other places?
It sure does. Yeah, it means that there's not as many opportunities as many of our surrounding states. Getting lost in Iowa is a really hard thing to do. It really is. I've only done it one time.
Tell me about the time you got lost.
Super fun. It was at Clanton Creek Recreation Area down in Madison County, actually. I was with a friend, and we were hiking around. It was when I was doing field work for the book, and I didn't have a map of the trails because many of the locations where I went to go visit to do field work, I didn't have any maps actually of the places. That's why in my book I included really detailed maps of where the hiking trails are. But we went hiking and we were actually out. We started picking mushrooms because there was a bunch of great edible mushrooms to pick, and we kind of wandered off the trail and got lost. And we were lost for couple hours. It was really awesome. It was so exciting. We talked back about how much fun that was to get lost in the state of Iowa, because with so many roads and so such small tracts of land that are preserved, it was pretty exciting. I do, in the book, I do have trails that range in length from half a mile all the way up to 25 miles. And there's actually a couple more places in Iowa to go hiking that have been created since Hiking Iowa was published that actually offer longer trail systems as well. So that's really exciting.
Well, we can talk about those in a moment. I want to start and sort of break down the state by area and by landscape. And let's start in Western Iowa, because I think in many ways Western Iowa gets the least amount of attention. But
sure does.
Anybody who's ever been to the Les Hills knows that Western Iowa has a great deal to offer. Where are your favorite places to hike in Western Iowa?
Absolutely. Well, in extreme Western Iowa, along the Les Hills run from just north of Sioux City down to the southwest corner of Iowa, and they're really, really beautiful landform. If you're an Iowan who hasn't been out to the Les Hills, I really highly recommend it. Three of my favorite places in the Les Hills are Five Ridge Prairie and then the Broken Kettle Grasslands, which is a large grasslands tract up north of Sioux City in Plymouth County. Five Ridge Prairie is owned by Plymouth County Conservation Board, and then Broken Kettle Grasslands is owned by the Nature Conservancy. So they're right next to each other, and it's sort of this very large Les Hills grassland tract. Broken Kettle Grasslands is actually the largest tract of prairie in the state of Iowa that's remaining, the largest remnant. Then a little bit further south, down in Monona County, is one of my most favorite places to go to in the whole state. That's Sylvan Runkle State Preserve and the Les Hills Wildlife Management Area. And there you just get this really, really typical Les Hills prairies and some woodlands in the wildlife management area. And it's just one of the most quiet and really beautiful places to go. It's a reminder of what the Les Hills really used to be, a treeless expanse of really beautiful prairie.
With our native landscape, with the prairie, it can be hard to really lose yourself and feel like you're in a wilderness because, of course, you can see for so far. Do you have any tips for people who want to really get that kind of wilderness prairie experience?
Yeah, you got to squint. Yeah, that's kind of, well, absolutely. There's a couple of larger tracts. Like I said, Five Ridge Prairie, Broken Kettle Grasslands is one of the largest. It's the largest tract of remnant prairie in Iowa. There's another big tract, just over 5,000 acres of prairie at Neil Smith National Wildlife Refuge down southeast of Des Moines. There's actually places in both Five Ridge Prairie and in Sylvan Runkle, and also at Neil Smith, there's places where you can pretty much only see prairie when you look 360 degrees around, and that's really, really exciting. One thing I want to alert people to is that a lot of people think that when the autumn comes around and when you want to go outside and look at the changing foliage colors, that you got to go find trees to look at. But I would really urge people to go and look at prairie and the changing colors of the prairie foliage as well. There's a really dramatic transformation that takes place every autumn on our native grasslands across the state. So if you are in western Iowa or in north central Iowa and you're looking for something to alert you of fall, it's go out and look at some prairies as well.
What do you like to see on the prairie in the fall? What are your favorite changes?
Well, basically what happens is most of the native grasses start changing from green into auburn or yellow or sort of reddish colors. And the transformation, just as much as woodland's transformation from green leaves to colored leaves during the autumn, the prairie does the same thing. Also, the prairie is always undergoing change, of course, throughout the summer, and that's what's so exciting about exploring prairies in Iowa is they're always changing from week to week, and they do that into the fall as well, even after many of the plants are blooming.
Before we leave western Iowa, are there any other places that you'd like to mention that are great hikes?
Yeah, there's two more. There's one still there in the Lus Hills, the Hitchcock Nature Area, which is a Pottawatomie County-owned park. It's a really great place. It was actually named one of the first important bird areas in the state of Iowa, and it's one of my favorite places to go hiking as well. It's just located just north of Council Bluffs. And then there's a little bit closer to central Iowa, White Rock Conservancy is where I've actually just been working for the last few years. And it's one of these newer parks that has been made open to the public since my book came out, actually. White Rock Conservancy has about 30 miles of trails available. So if you are looking for one of those long hikes or if you're looking to go backpacking, this would be a great place for you to do that this fall.
All right. And we would love for you to join our conversation as well. Where are your favorite places to hike in Iowa? The number to call is 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send us email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. We've been talking about western Iowa. We're going to move on into central Iowa and eastern Iowa as well. So if you have some favorite places you'd like to direct us to, do give us a call, 866-780-9100. At IPR Talk. I'm talking with Elizabeth Corcoran Hill. She is the author of Hiking Iowa, and we will talk more in a moment. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.
The falling leaves drift by the window. The autumn leaves of red and gold. I see your lips, the sunburned kisses, the sunburned hands I used to hold.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe, and today we're talking about different ways to explore Iowa. We're going to talk about canoeing and kayaking, taking water trails in about 10 minutes. But right now we're talking about hiking in the state, and my guest is Elizabeth Corcoran Hill. She is the author of Hiking Iowa, and we've been talking about western Iowa, but let's move on to central Iowa. You already mentioned the Neil Smith National Wildlife Refuge, which is a wonderful place to go for a hike, and it is really an amazing landscape, and it has changed so much in the past decade.
Absolutely.
It's a very exciting development in Iowa. But what are some of your other favorite places to go in central Iowa?
Well, I think one thing that, you know, especially in the fall, if you're really looking to go out and see some of the trees changing, hitting up some of our state forests is a great thing to do. So I'm not sure if a lot of listeners have ever been to Stevens State Forest before, down in south central Iowa, but there's about 14,000 acres of land and several different units that composes Stevens State Forest. And it's a really, really great place to go hiking. There's equestrian trails. There's actually even a couple hike-in campsites that you can do a backpacking trip at Stevens State Forest as well. And right now, I think because a lot of the foliage up in northeastern Iowa, like, say, at Yellow River State Forest, has a lot of their beautiful leaves have been falling down recently. If you're looking to go see some really, really beautiful, breathtaking autumn scenery, southern Iowa, especially, like, Stevens State Forest, and then even over in southeast Iowa at Shimmick State Forest would be two great places to go seek out that foliage.
All right. One of our listeners just tweeted that they love hiking in Yellow River State Forest
yeah.
for the stunning overlooks, and they're looking forward to a visit to Preparation Canyon this fall.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, Preparation Canyon, that's out in the Les Hills as well, so I kind of skipped over that, but that's a really great place to go visit. Also, there's a couple hike and campsites at Preparation Canyon as well that you can do some backpacking there. Yeah, our state forests are really, really unique resources. As you said, we don't have any national parks or really large, huge tracts of land. It's all relative, of course. So those state forests of ours, where there are several thousand acre units, are a real treasure. If you're looking to go outside and like you said, get lost or really feel like you're in a wild place.
Now, of course, we just mentioned Yellow River State Forest, which is in eastern Iowa, and I think eastern Iowa probably gets the most attention as far as beautiful outdoor places, especially in northeastern Iowa, but southeastern Iowa as well. What are some of your other favorites?
Well, we'll start in the up in northeast Iowa. I did just check with a few friends who said that the trees really aren't as beautiful right now up there as they were a couple weeks ago or a week and a half ago. But up there, I really love, you know, Mines of Spain right by Dubuque. That's a state park or state recreation area. It's an absolutely wonderful place to go. Of course, sort of Old Faithful, Yellow River State Forest. Pikes Peak, which is right along the Mississippi River and allows just absolutely gorgeous views of the Mississippi River. Moving down a little bit, going further south, if you're in the, you know, Iowa City area, that's where I grew up, so I used to spend a lot of time out at Palisades Park and then at the Coralville Reservoir, Lake McBride area. If you can spend a day and do a hike out at Palisades and then drive over to the reservoir and do a hike there, it's a day well spent.
And I think, it's surprising how rocky many of these areas are. You do see some really amazing rocky outcroppings and bluffs in places where you just wouldn't expect them.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, this is part of the looking a little bit harder and seeing real beauty. We think that, Iowa is just this flat area, but we've got some pretty amazing geological history and geological landforms in our state that, yeah, you do just have to look a little bit harder to see. One really cool place as far as geology goes is Lacey-Keosauqua State Park down in southeast Iowa, right by Keosauqua. And there the Des Moines River, which is generally a sort of a northwest to southeast trending river, it has this huge, huge big bend. It, like, for some reason, decided to take this big, big bend around. And Lacey-Keosauqua State Park actually covers the majority of the southern side of that bend of the river. So really beautiful views on the Des Moines, one of our greatest rivers in the state, and then also a pretty pretty long hike that you can go on to at Lacey-Keosauqua.
Deja is on the line from Davenport. Hello, Deja.
Yeah, hello.
Hi, where are your favorite places to hike?
Well, just around town here. We live really close to Wildcat Den State Park.
Nice.
And then also the Maquoketa Caves area, which unfortunately was, the caves have been closed down
yeah.
this last season, but it's still a really beautiful place.
Oh, absolutely. And, just in that area, too, I think, a lot of times when we're looking to go hiking, we look directly to the state parks. But a good thing to do is check out with the local county conservation board park and see what properties they own, as well where the state preserves are, because there's a lot of different sort of types of parks that you can go visit. So there in the Quad Cities area, there's county parks as well abounding in the area that
yeah, right.
that you could go hiking at.
Well, mm-hmm. Deja, thank you so much for your call.
Oh, thanks.
And Elizabeth, one of the things that is nice about hiking in Iowa, you mentioned that you can't really get lost. Now, of course, a lot of people who like to hike like to get lost, but that can be a real plus as well, especially if you're looking for shorter day hikes. What are some of the other things we should think about when we're heading out into Iowa's wild places?
Well, there's very little that we really need to be worried about, except for dehydration and poison ivy and ticks, pretty much. So those are the things that you're going to want to, you know, get ready and be wary against. If you don't know what poison ivy looks like, or if you don't know what ticks are, or how to get them off your body, you're going to want to try to learn out those things. So that information's in my book, and you can also find lots of information on the internet, I'm sure. But really, I think, you know, most people are kind of intimidated by this idea of hiking. You know, oh, you gotta like have all this gear and these big backpacks and take it all out with you, and it's really hard. But really, you know, the majority of the places where you're gonna explore in Iowa, you're just taking a jaunt around the woods or over the grasslands. And I really think that people should, you know, just think about it in that way. Maybe pack a sandwich and some water and the sunscreen. Maybe bring your binoculars. Are a nice guide to insects or birds or plants, but really just look at it as going out for a walk, really enjoying, especially now with this beautiful weather, not thinking about it too much as, you know, this, we have to go out and extensively walk over miles and miles. Of course, that's fun to do too.
You mentioned at the beginning of our conversation that since you wrote the book, there have been some longer trails that have been created. Do you think that there is a rising awareness of Iowa's wild areas and that this kind of thing is going to get even better in the future?
Oh, certainly. You know, I wrote the book so that people like me coming back to the state of Iowa, young people coming back to the state of Iowa, would be aware of the many places to go outside and play. And I think that it's not only young people, but people all over the state of Iowa are becoming more and more aware of the importance of conservation and preservation and enjoyment of our wild areas. And, you know, on that level, I would say for everybody who's interested in conserving and preserving and enjoying our natural areas to vote yes on question number one on the back of the ballot on November 2nd to support Iowa's Water and Land Legacy Amendment.
Well, Elizabeth, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much.
Elizabeth Corcoran-Hill is the author of Hiking Iowa, and I'll let Glenn, who sent us an email from Omaha, have the last word on this. He says that Vincent Bluffs State Preserve, hidden in the Les Hills in the middle of Council Bluffs, Iowa, totally undiscovered natural area where very few people visit, and hopefully a few more people will get a chance to visit. Thank you again, Elizabeth. In just a moment, we're going to be talking about water trails in the state of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe, and another great way to explore Iowa is in a canoe or a kayak or even an inner tube. Iowa has over 700 miles of designated water trails with many more under development. And Todd Robertson is the outreach coordinator for river programs at the Iowa Department of Natural Resources. Todd, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me. How are you?
I'm very good. We'd also like to hear from you with your favorite places to canoe or kayak or spend time on the river. You can give us a call at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And Todd, when I was a kid, we did a lot of canoeing on the Des Moines River. And back then, you just had a canoe and life jackets and paddles, and you just went. When did the idea of having designated water trails really start to catch on in Iowa?
Well, when Nate Hogeveen came on board with the Department of Natural Resources, he really started the ball rolling. But a lot of the local paddling clubs, for instance, Central Iowa Paddlers has been in existence for a while. They were pushing to have water trails across the state. And they did a really good job of, I don't want to say hobby, but getting it out there so that the general public saw that, you know what, there's another way to enjoy our state of Iowa. There's a lot of hidden beauty on the water trails and along all the rivers. And they got more people out there. And through Nate's program at the DNR, we've been pushing it hard for a long time that getting out and paddling is just not good for exercise and just not good for you emotionally, but it's really good for the preservation and conservation of our state and all the beauty that we have here.
How do you designate a water trail?
Well, it's a long process. There's a lot of paperwork, but a group gets interested in making their stretch of river through their county an official water trail. They will get together with the conservation boards, local community groups, paddling clubs. Then you start filling out applications at the Iowa Department of Natural Resources on our website. There's a couple of forms you need to fill out. You need to get funding. You need to get grants applied for. And just really get it scoped out how you want that water trail to be. What do you want it to relay to your paddlers? What kind of experience would you like to have on that water trail? We actually have four different classifications of water trails, starting with Gateway, which is a more family-oriented, newer paddler type of experience where there's nothing dangerous to watch out for. You don't need a high skill level to enjoy the river. So Gateway's number one. Recreational water trail adds just a little bit of a challenge. We also have the challenge category, which you do have to have a high degree of skill level to negotiate, say, deadfall when trees get into the water. You may have some rapids and riffles. You may have a long portage around a low head dam, which is very important. So it requires a little bit more skill. And then finally, you have your wilderness water trail, which is a truly unique experience here in Iowa. For those who don't think you can go out and get lost in Iowa, try going out on a river like the Yellow River without a GPS or not knowing where you're going. You will feel extremely isolated, and you will see things that you just can't see anywhere else.
Now, certainly having a good map of where you're going is a component of the water trail. But when you're out there on the water, will you see something different if it's an actual designated trail?
Well, you'll see a lot of things like signage. You will have access signs. Signs will be well, access points will be well marked. Portage trails around low head dams and other obstacles will be well marked. You may have signage for amenities like campgrounds along the river. You will just see that the river is maintained maybe a little bit more than a non-water trail stretch of river.
What do you think you can experience on the water that maybe you can't experience in hiking in Iowa?
Well, you really do have a sense of isolation that just can't be found any other way. Plus, it's kind of fun because you can go down the same stretch of river every day for a week. And because the water level changes and because the scenery and the wildlife may change, you will never take the same trip twice. And you can really find that out by if you take your camera with you and start taking a bunch of pictures. You will just get different pictures, different views. The sunlight will be hitting trees and the water a little bit differently, and you'll see different forms of wildlife as you head on down the river. So it is a truly unique experience to be out on the river and to listen to the total quiet around you. It's great emotionally. It's just one of my favorite things to do. It's my favorite medication. Just get out on a river.
Jim in Northwest Iowa is on the line. Hello, Jim.
Hi.
Hi. Where's your favorite place to go canoeing?
Well, I like the upper Iowa quite a bit, but my purpose in calling was to let people know about the Little Sioux River. According to Nate Hogeveen, and I would agree, there's a good 88 miles of unchanneled river here.
Yes.
Almost all of the shorelines are just as they had been all along and covered with a lot of trees, very few bridges, and maybe only one real dam. So this is an area that, you're not going to see a lot of other canoes out there most of the time, and very few tubers, and so you really are able to see a lot of nature here.
All right, Jim, thank you so much for your call.
Absolutely.
Little Sioux River is one of my favorite rivers. I love prairie streams, and you can find some gorgeous prairie streams in western Iowa. Little Sioux is one of them. Great places to camp along that stretch. Wonderful wildlife. It's a beautiful setting. You've got some rolling hills and areas, and then you've just got that beautiful prairie setting, which is harder to find in the central or eastern part of the state. But in western Iowa, you've got that. You've got the West and East Nishnabotnas. Just beautiful prairie streams. Very relaxing. Couple of my favorites.
Now, Jim mentioned that the Little Sioux is unchanneled for this length. Is that a real problem in Iowa, that a lot of rivers and streams have been altered?
Yes, you know, and that's just part of our history. A lot of streams have been altered, but one great thing about when we turn a stretch into an official state designated water trail, it goes back to the preservation and conservation issues. We try to restore as best we can the original intent of that river, the original look of that river. And it's hard because, you know, rivers have their own mind. They pretty much do what they want to do. They're a powerful force. But when you have a water trail, you try to not interfere too much with the way the river is progressing. And we've got public land along rivers. We've got private land along rivers. So it's a very touchy thing to deal with. But there are so many isolated section of rivers in the state that people just don't know about. Once they get out paddling, they want to discover more and more, and they realize that the more they paddle, the more isolation and non-channelized rivers they're going to find.
Well, we will talk more about the water trails in the state of Iowa in a moment. My guest is Todd Robertson. He's the Outreach Coordinator for River Programs at the Iowa Department of Natural Resources. And we'd like to hear about your favorite places to paddle in the state, your favorite places to canoe or kayak. You can give us a call at 866-780-9100. You can also tweet us at IPR Talk, or you can send us email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. This is Talk of Iowa on Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. We're talking right now about Iowa's water trails. Todd Robertson is the Outreach Coordinator for River Programs at the Iowa Department of Natural Resources. And we'd love to find out about some of your favorite places to paddle in the state of Iowa. The number to call is 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send us email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And also, when Jim called a little while ago, he mentioned that one of his favorite places to paddle is the Upper Iowa River, and that, if I'm not mistaken, is the most popular place for people to go canoeing or kayaking in Iowa.
That's probably the most popular stretch. You've got people coming in from Minnesota, Wisconsin, actually all over the country to paddle that stretch, especially between Kendallville and Bluffton. You've got the high bluffs on the sides, tons of bald eagles, river otters. It is a really popular stretch. As a matter of fact, when you paddle in the summertime, you have to enjoy company because there's usually quite a train length section of canoes and kayaks going down that river because it is so beautiful. And I believe it is ranked in the top 10 in the country for most scenic waterway. So that is pretty cool.
All right. Dick is on the line in Dubuque. Hello, Dick.
Yeah, a couple things. The Driftless region, of course, which you mentioned, is great up in this area. And then the guy had mentioned that the guy, I don't know if you mentioned the book, but that Nate Hogevin, he has a book, Paddling in Iowa, which is great. And there are some Iowa websites, too. Jones County has some wonderful parks for both hiking and canoeing in the northern part, in the southern part of Dubuque County, the border.
Yes.
There. The Maquoketa River, the south, both the south and north forks of the Maquoketa River.
Maquoketa River is beautiful, and Larry Gullett up in Jones County has done an absolutely awesome job with that water trail. We just had the official water trail designation of the Maquoketa between the Monmac Dam in Monticello down to Pictured Rocks, almost 8 miles away. And from what I heard from Larry, that between Memorial Day and Labor Day, over 1,000 paddlers a weekend on that stretch. And it's just wonderful what they have done in Jones County. They have really set the example of how a water trail should be done and how it should look. I invite everybody to get up to Jones County, go up to Monticello and float that stretch. It's absolutely gorgeous.
Well, Dick, thank you so much for your call.
Thanks.
Thanks a lot. And, you know, I know that a lot of people have been canoeing in Iowa for a very long time, and it sounds mm-hmm. like the water trails designation is making this a lot more popular. Have you heard from anybody saying, you know, I really loved my river before you told everybody about it?
Yeah, you know, that happens, but we love seeing the river usage get really popular. Paddlers are increasing every year, more and more paddlers. And the thing is, if we want our water quality to improve, if we want our rivers to be paid attention to and to be respected, we need to get more people out on the water. And you'll find that the majority of paddlers are extremely respectful of landowners, the land that is owned alongside the river, as well as the river itself. Case in point, somebody starts paddling, they start seeing what needs to be done on a river to make it better, and they will join something like Project Aware, which is a volunteer-driven group of river lovers and enthusiasts who go out once a year. They pick a stretch of river, and they will clean the river of as much garbage as they can find. Project Aware this past year, we were on the west and east Anishinaabemowin over in Pottawatomie County, and we covered over 100 river miles and removed about 9.5 tons of garbage from that river, and from both those rivers, and 54% of that was recycled. So Brian Soonan's doing an excellent job with Project Aware, and I do want to give a shout out to all the volunteers that show up, because there are people that just want their rivers to continue to be beautiful. We don't want to make them worse. We want to make them better, and paddlers are a big factor in that.
Water was very high this year in a lot of places. Have you seen your water trails being impacted by the increasing regularity of floods in the state?
Yeah, and there's always work to do on the accesses where you have ramps and places to put in your boats, your canoes and kayaks. So the counties will maintain that. Other groups and organizations will help keep that clear. The higher water this year just happened to keep more people off the water than on. So I know a lot of people didn't paddle as much as they want to. I usually try to cover about 1,000 miles a year paddling just on our waterways here in Iowa, and I was cut way down too because of the high water. But a positive thing out of that, when the rivers, a lot of these main rivers are high, you've got a lot of the smaller creeks and streams that become runnable because they finally have enough water to do it. They may not be an official water trail, but with 18,000 miles of navigable waterways in the state, you have a plethora of rivers and streams to choose from.
John is on the line from Corydon. Hello, John.
Hello.
Hi. Hi, what would you like to talk
Hi,
about?
Hi, John.
Well, I want to talk about South Iowa. I'm about 12 miles from the Missouri line and in Wayne County.
Mm-hmm.
And the South Fork of the Sheraton River runs through a little stretch of my timber and eventually joins the Sheraton and feeding Rathbun Lake.
Mm-hmm.
And I find a lot of pleasure from paddling a stretch below the dam, about
yes.
13 miles to the Sheraton Bluffs State Park takeout.
Mm-hmm.
It's
yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that's a wonderful area. I love paddling down on Lake Rathbun. They've got a water trail that's just about finished themselves and a paddle-in campsite where you can't get to it unless you paddle in and paddle out. So Lake Rathbun, Sheridan River, that's a beautiful area down there.
Yeah, and that stretch below the dam is probably for more experienced paddlers because of the potential for log jams and sweeping
yes.
branches out over the river in higher water. And this year has been one of those high water years because they increased the output at that dam about 1,200 cubic feet per second. And so I stayed off of it.
Yeah, good idea. Good idea. There's a few group of paddlers that actually go out on New Year's Day. I do some of that myself. Of course, most of the rivers and lakes are iced up, but right below the dam there at Rathbun and also at Red Rock and Sailorville, you have a lot of paddlers going out where there's open water just so they can watch all the bald eagles. And I remember last year up by Sailorville, at one point, I think we counted 42 bald eagles in one tree. And that's something that you can really only see from the river. So, yeah, that's a beautiful area. And southern Iowa also has the Grand River, which is being worked on right now for a water trail as well.
John, thank you so much for your call. And
thanks,
of course,
John.
In the first half of the show, we were talking about hiking. And if you want to get started with hiking, all you really need to do is tie your shoes. When you want to start canoeing, what are some of the things that you should think about as you get started?
Well, if you're just starting and you have no paddle experience, it's great to join a local paddling club. Like if you're from around the Des Moines area, you've got Central Iowa Paddlers, you've got Sticks in the Water up in northeastern Iowa, you've got Skunk River Paddlers and the Skunk River Navy up in Ames along the Skunk River. But if you get involved with some of these smaller clubs, they will help you learn the process of becoming a better paddler, of understanding our rivers and our environment. And some of them even offer classes on paddling instruction. A great place to go for talking to people about starting paddling and maybe buying a boat for the first time is a place like Canoe Sport Outfitters down in Indianola, where they do provide classes, and they will take you out on the river and help you get started. And paddling is that you're either going to love it or you're not going to like it. There's no in between. But if you catch fire and you really want to start paddling, you're going to find yourself going to all the resources. And of course, come to the Iowa Department of Natural Resources website, because we have a decent canoe and kayak section with downloadable maps of some of the water trails that we have here in the state.
Well, and this is something a lot of people like to do as a family. They like to get their kids out on the water. Do you have any special advice for somebody who wants to take fairly young children out?
Wear your life jacket, and remember that kids under the age of 13 must have their life jacket on at all times in boats, but make sure that you do take care of the children. Have those life jackets on, and plan your trip well in advance. Know the river that you're going to be on. The gentleman mentioned Nate's book, Paddling Iowa, which is out of circulation right now, and hopefully we can get that back into print. But if you can find yourself a map and you can go to the DNR and download one, it will show you where all the access points are, where any amenities are if you decide you'd like to camp along the way, focal points, certain wildlife that's in that area. The DNR website is a great tool to use for that. And so just please study your route beforehand. Know where those low head dams are. Watch for your warning signs when you're on a water trail. Do exactly as that warning sign tells you. It'll show you where the portage is around the dam. You do that, you're going to be safe and have a great time.
David from Des Moines is on the line. And David, we may have already answered your question, but do you have anything else you'd like to ask?
You just did.
Okay.
And I own Paddling Iowa, the book, and it's an amazing resource. I look forward to the second edition at some point. But
me too.
There are other stretches that you just don't find in there.
Right.
I'll just add that, I did the Middle Raccoon, I think, is the river downstream of Redfield. You put in just below the dam there.
Yes.
We did that with the Dallas County Conservation folks just a couple weekends ago, and it was beautiful. I was really surprised, because I haven't done a whole lot of the smaller rivers, and I was really impressed with the Rocky Bluffs and, you know, the riffles and little Class 1 rapids, and just didn't expect it. But it was
and,
nice.
And you took the route south of Redfield?
Yes.
Yeah, try going up to Panora also. Panora all the way down to Redfield, I think it's about an 18-mile paddle. You can cut it in half, but if you like riffles and some nice twisty turns here and there and seeing a lot of wildlife, try that stretch from Panora all the way down to Redfield. I think the Middle Raccoon is, I would consider it the jewel of Central Iowa as far as river experiences go.
Great, thank you.
All right, thanks a lot for your call, David. And next up, we've got Bill on the line in Slater. Hello, Bill.
Yes.
Hi, Bill.
Good morning.
Hi, what's your favorite place to go?
Well, each year a friend and myself kind of float down the Des Moines River from Boone to Madrid.
Mm-hmm. That's a beautiful stretch of river.
Oh, yeah. We spend the night on the beach and do some fishing along the way, but just generally just to get out and have fun.
Good for you. There's nothing like being out on the river.
All right, Bill. Thank you so much for your call.
I do have a question for you. You know, we've thought about going down other rivers, but I've always been, you know, if we drove two cars up, we'd have to leave them there on an unsupervised area. Always worried about, you know, what to do in that situation.
Well, if it's an official water trail, there is usually parking areas designated just for something like that. I've never had a problem on going on any of the other rivers that are not official water trails yet. I've never had a problem with leaving a vehicle. Maybe I'm just lucky, but the most accesses on most rivers, if it has an actual access, will have an area there to park. And usually, I mean, I've never heard of anybody having any trouble. Occasionally, if I'm going on a more wilderness stretch of river, I might notify the County Conservation Board that I'm going to be parking there, or I might call in advance and just make sure that it is okay to leave a car there overnight. If I go out in extremely cold conditions, or if I go out by myself, occasionally I will contact the local law enforcement as well and just file my float plan, which is just kind of letting them know where I'm at and what time I'm expected to be back. But at most places, you shouldn't have too much trouble parking your vehicle and leaving it there overnight.
All right,
well,
Bill.
Well, thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Bill mentioned spending the night on the beach, and a lot of people who canoe do camp on sandbars or the sandy areas next to a river. What do you need to know before you might pitch your tent somewhere?
Well, you want to know the weather forecast, number one. You want to know the river level, what the river level is now, and what you might expect it to be if you get a lot of rain up north. Rivers can rise extremely quickly. You can be caught off guard if you're setting up your tent on a sandbar, and if you're not aware that there's going to be a couple inches of rain up north, you may wake up in the middle of the night and find yourself knee-deep in water. So pay attention to the weather forecast. Pay attention to the river levels themselves, and you'll have a really good time. That's a good, safe way to start out.
All right. And Doug is on the line from Donaldson. Hello, Doug.
Hi there.
Hi, Doug.
I'm from very southeast part of the state. And a river that doesn't get much traffic is Big Cedar Creek, north of Hillsboro and Stockport. And there's an 8-mile section that's mostly limestone with some really nice riffles. And it also
beautiful.
Has a wonderful little set of rapids there with pretty good waves. And I paddled it Sunday, saw a nice big buck. I saw a pileated woodpecker and several eagles.
Beautiful.
And, yeah. And I always usually just use my bicycle for the shuttle. And everywhere I've paddled in Iowa, I've never even put a chain on my bicycle. I've just left it in the ditch, and it's always been there.
No, good for you.
I think in Iowa you can do that most of the time.
Yeah, most of the time.
Knock on wood. But
right.
Knock on wood.
I
right.
hope your luck holds out.
Big Cedar Creek is Big Cedar Creek's a fun creek. I have not been on Big Cedar Creek, but at the website that I go to, it's a paddling forum, which I'll mention too, paddlingiowa.com. A lot of Iowa paddlers, local paddlers, will put up their trip reports there, ask questions, give advice. But there are people that do paddle Big Cedar Creek. I've seen the trip reports on them, and you can probably dig them up if you go to paddlingiowa.com. So, yeah, great area. Thank you.
All right, Doug, thank you so much for your call. And we have just a moment left, Todd. What do you want people to know about Iowa's rivers if they've never been out there and tried out even tubing or kayaking or canoeing before? What should they know?
I just want you to know that you can have an experience, a truly unique experience that you and I love bike trails. I love hiking. I've had Elizabeth's book for a while. I do a lot of hiking out of her book. I love taking long walks, but there's something on the river that's just a different deal. It just becomes a magical experience. You get views and you see wildlife and you see things that you cannot see from the road. You cannot see from the bike. You cannot see just by walking down a path. There's just an entirely different world out there, and once you get out there, you start paying attention to your rivers. You start paying attention to your environment. You want it to improve. You want it to be more healthy, and that's why I say the more paddlers we get out there, the better. So there, with 18,000 miles of navigable streams in Iowa, I want all of you to go out there and get a kayak, get a canoe, get out there and experience it, because once you go out, you'll probably go out time and time again, and make sure you take your camera, because there are just beautiful things to see on Iowa's rivers and lakes.
But you should probably take a waterproof camera bag as well.
Waterproof camera bag helps. They make those waterproof point and shoots that usually get good pictures. But if you have a nice SLR, which are beautiful for taking river pictures, get a Pelican case or a waterproof case, and you can strap it right on top of your kayak or stick it in a dry bag in your canoe.
All right. Well, Todd, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Todd Robertson is the Outreach Coordinator for River Programs at the Iowa Department of Natural Resources. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Talk of Iowa is produced by Dennis Reese and Alex Hoyer. Our executive producer is Jeff Schmidt. Production assistance today from Christina Sarnelli. Technical support from Jonathan All in Des Moines. You can send us email anytime at talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Talk of Iowa is a production of Iowa Public Radio News.